methodology from start to finish.
We will mostly use some example races from your books. Let's follow our procedure we discussed last night for asking questions. Ask them succinctly, loudly. Loudly enough for Joe Ray to pick them up on his boom mic down here. Oh, I don't have your thing up. Can you still hear me, Joe?
This is good.
That's good enough.
All right. This room.
Make the questions loud and succinct, and everybody try to listen to the question so that when the answer comes, that everybody will know what the question was to the answer. We had people asking the same question time after time because they didn't hear the initial question. Yes, sir.
Somebody asked a question, though. You can't hear it. Will you repeat the question?
Yeah. The question was, if someone asks a question and we can't hear it, will you repeat it? And they didn't hear it. That's our first exercise in that. The speakers will try to repeat the questions, I trust. Each one will be moderated. The first thing I'd like to emphasize today before we get to the panels, while the panels are assembling, is that it is a strange coincidence that whenever hand-in-hand tappers are assembled, that the most frequent question asked and the most persistent question is the question concerning adjustments and variance. Why this is probably the temptation that all human beings have to mess around with figures. They just don't feel that they're handicapping unless they mess with the figures and make adjustments. If we don't get anything else across at this seminar, other than the fact that adjustments should be judiciously made and not gratuitously made, we will have accomplished something. Because the concept of variant, ever since it was introduced into popular handicapping literature, probably by Beyer and Davidowitz and what have you, has become so all-consuming that people don't feel that they've truly handicapped a race unless they've done every minute little adventure into the manipulation of time by variant that is possible. In 85% of the races in this 168-page manual, you're going to find that the races were won by the individuals who handicapped them without making any adjustments, unless they were just simple sprinter out distance adjustments. If your mind is not totally clear about how to make those minute variant adjustments, you are better off in the long run not making them at all. If you're concerned about winning a race and not the races, then what you need to do is to take a long look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, what are my own personal records based on it? Do I get traumatized by losing one race? And does that affect my judgment and my ability to go forth? Or do I truly look at my win cycle in series of 20 instances? Many, many people who do not think they're getting 63% or meeting the minimum qualification, when they look at a 20-race cycle, say, hey, I'm not so bad. I have one very meticulous fellow in Washington, D.C., who was thinking he was doing very badly. And he, after the seminar, went over his last 150 races and broke them into 20-race cycles and found out he was doing very well. Found that he was doing 61%, and he thought he was a dummy, thought he was a dunce, thought he was never going to get it. Suddenly, only the realization that he was actually doing 61 and had been for months made him realize that he was his enemy. Because every time he would lose, he'd draw back his betting, change his whole philosophical structure, and call himself a loser when in reality he was winning. And only by reconstructing his 150 races did he realize he was doing as he should. We must always be aware of how we're doing. Winning is like a dance. It is a three-step. It's a one, two, one, two, one, two. It's get into a rhythm. Lose one, win two, lose one, win two, lose three, lose five. That's when you're in trouble, when the rhythm breaks. But as long as it's win two, lose one, win two, lose one, you're winning. The person who gets excited and depressed by losing a race is defeating himself. You cannot win every race. you can win 2 out of 3, you've got it. If you can win 3 out of 5, you can make a living. So let's, when we think about the adjustment, think of why we're making adjustment. To review that before we start the panel, just one more time, because this question came up after last night's session and once again at breakfast. What is the difference between velocity and energy? By our definition. Remember, our definitions are arbitrary and they're indigenous to our methodology. Uwemahl said in 1975 that the successful handicapper of the future would have to read the racing form in an entirely different manner and would have to evolve a new language. But the old language of second and ticks and front speed and all those things were obsolete. We had to be more precise in our language. So what we, in our own particular language, refer to as velocity are pure fractional times translated into feet per second. Those are the first fraction, the second fraction, the third fraction, final time, and the second call. Those are pure velocities. So if it refers to any of those as separate and distinct entities, those are velocity times. When any one or more of those are combined, multiplied, divided, added, what have you, we merely translate those into energy figures so they will not be confused with velocity figures. So when we talk about early pace, sustained pace, and combine them, we're talking in energy figures. When we speak in terms of early energy, which is so important, as opposed to late energy, which is equally important, because they are two halves of the same coin, we're talking about how much energy in compounded feet per second a horse is expending in that portion of the race which we determine as early, which is the second call. In a route, that's 3/4 of a mile. In a sprint, that's 1/2 mile. The amount of energy, the percentage relating to the total energy expended early is percentage early. What's left is percentage late. We have found that the true secret of successful handicapping is putting all these 9 factors together and utilizing energy expenditure as a final means of handicapping. That is just ballpark language. The difference between energy figures and velocity figures are that velocity represent pure feet per second velocity of a given segment of the race, and the others are compounded. And we call the compounded ones energy merely to distinguish them, because the figures look very similar. They're in the 50s. So as long as we've got our ground rules straightened out and our language straightened out, for those who are not familiar with it, we can get on with the business at hand. The first thing you need is a racing form. The second thing you need to do is to open it up. And the first segment of that is to then qualify the horses from the conditions of the race and to merely peruse that racing form, see what the contention is. To bridge the gap between the traditional and the new is a man who has been in both stances, lived in both worlds, and has made peace with both. We'll be moderating the first segment. How do we use some of those traditional concepts of class? Claiming price, allowance price, this and that, things that people are steeped in, and how do you translate them and carry over into the methodology? So Mr. Interlocutor here for our first segment is Richard Quigley.
First thing before we start, if anybody tries to make a system out of this, I'm going to show them at sunrise. Now, what this is a procedure for using some of the old handicapping routines to get a mindset on conditions and what type of horses are in what type of races. It works the best on cleaning races, but before we're done, if I have enough time, I will show you how to apply it to allowance races and handicaps. It's in essence a summarization of Jim Quinn's work on eligibility that's simplified to where you can do it and just zip-zip allowance and the handicaps and stakes. But claiming races is another ballgame. And it will help you do two or three things. The first thing it will help you do is to actually get a line on the field as to what horses are coming down in grade, what horses are staying the same, and what horses are being asked to do something they've never done or can't do very well. The second thing, it will enable you to be able to get rid of a bunch of horses that are out of form and shouldn't be considered even more than a second. When you get done, you have a class handicap that will enhance your pace handicap, and then you can start your matchups and your pace lines then. Until you get rid of all that deadwood, you're looking at a whole lot of horses, and a lot of people get quite confused. So it's a very simple way of doing it. Consider first, what is the level of the class? We say about 20%, right? In other words, if a horse is $5,000 and he drops $1,000, that's 20%. He's gone down a grade. If he's a $20,000 horse and he drops $4,000, that's 20%. It's all relative. So here's your first parameter. This will be done on the last four or five races of the horse, regardless of date or anything else. And it's just a little mark. If you look, Michael, I think, was doing it. If you look on some of these, take page 152. You see the first horse? Eli Syncopation. See the plus check, plus plus? Right after the claiming price? Written in?
152.
I'm glad you could read your own handwriting. What'd you see there?
Yeah.
Okay, now what that represented was, now all right, let me give you the parameters now.
The parameters are jotted in up there.
Okay. The formula is this. We're looking for a two-grade drop. So the formula is 20% plus $500, which puts the horse in the second level, is a plus. Anything equal to that or above, it's a plus mark. The lower one is below 20%. Anything 20% below the top claiming price in a race, it's a zero, or just leave it blank. Now, then to set down and really get what horses are in grade, anything that falls in between those two is check marked. I'll go through and give you some examples. Suppose you got a, keep it in even numbers, you got a $5,000 race, so that would be $1,000. So anything below $4,000 is zero in any race. Anything for $6,500, which is the $1,000 plus $500, is a plus. And you just mark those down as you go through before you do anything else for the last four or five races, and you'll get a line on whether this horse has been running against better horses, the same, or inferior horses. Now, do not try to make a system out of this. It's not good enough and it'll get you in trouble. All it is supposed to do is to separate the three categories of horses moving down into easier competition, horses staying in the same grade that they've been running in, or horses that are now trying to move up grade over 20%. You follow what I'm talking about? Now, does anybody not understand that?
What's the check mark?
Check mark is just what is in grade. That's everything that falls between the pluses and the minus. If it doesn't get a zero or a plus, it's got to be a check.
That's the same.
Yeah, that means he's in grade. And it'll be a great help when it comes down to getting your eliminations. So let's, I tell you, just for a little bit, let's take the first race that's in the book, and I'll go through it. I think it, I don't want to belabor this, but it is a handy little thing, and it really works well. Let's take that.
Okay.
Well,
you want to try the one that's already marked, or?
Yeah, well, I was going to go through and mark one, then I'll go back to that. Let's just take the, 26. Now, we don't care about who the winner is. I'm not worried about picking a winner. So if you're not going to pick winners for this, you're going to classify horses. All right. Now, it's a, hit the top claiming price is $5,000. So we got $6,500 on top, which is $5,000. 20% is $1,000 plus the $500. So $6,500 on top. And anything below $4,000 would be the other. So what you do is, if you look at back on page 153, you'll see that Michael has set his parameters out, and that's exactly the way I do it too, for that race in particular there. Up on top, you see the 1700 and the 1300, I guess it is.
This is New York.
What is that, 17 and 13?
17,000, yeah.
17 is...
I'm a Tampa Bay.
It's a very, very simple, a very simple calculation. It's a $14,000 race, and what Dick is saying is that you want to look for the plus horses, the horses are that are 20% over that 14,000, which is 16,800 plus $500, so $17,300 is how you get that.
The reason you want the plus $500 is you want to make sure the horse is in the next level up, so he's a double level, you come down a double level.
You see? Here's a question right from the start.
Yeah.
Are you concerned with what the listed claiming price was, or what you know the actual race was? For instance, you see 22 flying. Well, you know, there's a flood race for
22
flying. Well, what? $5,000 race.
I understand. What happens is that you take always figure to the highest price. And after you work with them a while, you recognize what the average is for the trip.
With what the actual top claiming price.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You go by the top claiming price. Because a lot of times you'll get a $10,000 down to $8,000, see?
Right. But there was a bit.
Pardon? Well, just the 500, that puts you down, sir. 20% plus the 500 will automatically make him down. The other one is he's dropping down below the 20, which puts him down into that second level. See, you're not concerned with the drop. What you're going to mark pluses and minuses. You know that the plus horse is running two levels over his head, and that the zero horses have been running below one level. You see, it's automatic.
And what the, just to get back to one more point on your thing about top class, level, it's very important, especially in the lower echelon of claiming races in New York. This race here that's on this page 153 is, as you know, the bottom of the barrel. The bottom most claiming prices are from 14 to 12. Now, very often you'll get a horse who the next level up is 17.5, but 17.5 goes all the way down to 15.5. There was an example of, a few weeks ago, when a Pledge Cap, or a New York horse, one of his wins, he was coming off a race in which he was entered for $15,500, and it only looked like he was dropping $1,500 from 15.5 to 14. In other words, from the bottom of that level to the top of this level. So you must consider that he is dropping from 17.5. This is what Dick is saying, because it's the next level up.
That's what I'm trying to say. Don't make a system out of this. Try to make a monetary system. What you're interested in is the movements between grades within these claiming races, because there's a lot of them. And when you get to the minor tracks, it's very evident because there's a lot of movement there.
I'm wondering what special recommendation you had for localized competition,
state
prep races, etc.
Well, the only thing you can do with those is to keep energy levels on, you know, and match them up to the claiming prices by their energy levels. And then you can get a complete class strata if you're going to play one track. You see what I mean? Like if the maiden specials are running 52 and your $20,000 horses are running 52, you can pick a bang. Maiden specials are about $20,000. See what I mean? Why do you have to use purses either one?
If you're playing a minor track where the prices are very low, less than 20%?
No, 20, fine, 20% is just right. I played half a bounce, it don't get much lower than that, and it works great. In fact, I'm just ready for that. Okay, listen, I don't think we really need a lot of questions on that. If you just keep in mind that we're, the 20% is just a way to get at the levels. What you're actually interested in is horses dropping two grades, legitimately, or trying to move up into the second grade.
I think that most tracks you can walk into the racing secretary's office and get a condition book. And usually, on the cover of the condition book, it'll tell you the claiming level and what a horse must race at those levels.
That'll work like a charm. All right. Now let's go through. All right, so we got our parameters set at 6,500 and above is a plus. Under 4,000 is a zero. Everything else is a check. Okay, the first horse gets check, 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 and a borderline plus, because he's right on the line. See, that's his four races. Which means what? That this horse has been running in grade his last three races, right? He's not making any downward drop. Now the next race, you gotta be, this next race is tricky because you have a $3,000 allowance. So you gotta increase that to about $4,500. Yeah, I would keep it. I would increase it to about 4,500, make it about 50% more. So that's a check, check, zero, check. So this horse is running in grade, and they dropped him once, and it didn't help. Well, he ran second, but it didn't help. Okay, the next horse is one that is an improving horse because he was running. A 0, 0, 0, but look at the last race, a very nice race with a check. So, now you see, this horse is not outclassed today. Why? Because he proved himself in the last race. That's the advantage of this little stuff right here. That's the mindset you need. See it? 26. The horse's name is A Way to Stay. Yeah, I'm going through the four races. See, I'm doing four races on each horse right down the line.
No matter how long he's been away.
Who is in his class competitions, then this is not going to do anything. This is just one step to classify the horses. See? Okay, the next race is like a Northern Starlet is $4,000. That's a check. $6,250 check. And 2 zeros. See what happened here? The guy claimed him out of some bad races, lower grade, but he moved him up and he got away with it. Now you're not interested in the dollar value per se. This is just to tell you what class level. So you don't need to. I want to harp on this because I've talked to some people and they turned around trying to make it a system out of it, arguing about $500 up and down. Say, gee, I would have had that horse, but he was a zero. I said, why? Well, he ran for $7,000. It's $8,000. I said, man, look at the rest of the race. You know, he's close enough. That's what you want to do. Okay. Now the next. Let's forget that. Here's the next one is all sum and substance. It's two checks. That's all the farther you have to go. Why? He's in a new barn. Down there, checkery. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
See how you can use this to help? But anyway, it would be check, check, zero, check. And then we only got one more horse, and he's a plus. Rock on by gets a plus. A check and two pluses. So what's this going to tell you? Here is a horse that's better than anybody else in here. This is a perfect horse to place without doing anything else. Perfect horse to place. Why? He's in grade. He's a better horse on class than any horse in this race. You can spot it immediately. Now, if his pace lines put him to where he's the best horse, then he's a heck of a good win bet. But even if he's got lousy pace lines, this is a horse that if you're playing multiples, you include for the number two spot. And Howard will explain that later when he goes through how to pick the place horse. This thing is a great help on classifying races, and it's a great help on picking your vulnerable horses, your second horse. And I really didn't plan it that way, but I looked down here and looked in place.
Would you read his check?
All right. I'll go through it. He had a $5,000 starter, which makes him about $7,500, so that's a plus. He has a claiming range for $5,000, which makes him a check. He has two allowances with $9,000 purses, which are plus, maybe double plus. Let's see what the first plus gives. $4,500, so he's running twice as good there in June before they dropped him. See? So this horse is really a class standout in here, looking at nothing else. Yeah?
If you added 50% for the starter allowance.
Yeah.
If it was any other kind of allowance, you always have to...
Go by the purse. If it's equal purse, you still have to give him a little edge because he's not for sale. He wasn't for sale. See what I mean?
Why did you eliminate Lady
Shalimar? She scratched. Huh? Well, I got a thing through it. I thought it was scratched. It looks like it's scratched. Let's look at it. That's okay. All right. Now, that's another plus horse. All the way. Plus, 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 plus.
It was scratched.
No, it was
scratched. All right. That's okay. That's okay. Now, what that shows you, see, I'll get into it in a minute. Now you've got it set up. You've got two horses that are better grade, right? And the rest of the horses are mostly lower. Didn't have any that you could really throw out, did it? On class. So it sets up with the two horses you're worried about as to because they're moving down and needing weaker people are Lady Shalimar and Rock on By. You see how this will help you get a line on what you're going to do? Now start your pacing again. Start your conditions. Let's go over to, I don't want to monopolize this, but let's go over to back, I think it is, to page 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I don't know if anybody has been exposed to this stuff or not, but you'll have to bear with me because anybody that's beginning our methodology, this will really help you get a line on where you want to go for your pace lines and when to eliminate. Now, I want you to write something in here where it says red cycle, green cycle. Just throw out the blue cycle. That's a waste of time. Okay. You got to go back past 60, right? You're going back anyway, so it's all right. There's reasons to go back there, but you don't need that cycle. Now, the thing about this is that the higher class, by that I'm talking about in your class structure, after you get way up there, and probably a track like Sarasota, you would use only the green cycle, no red cycle. Red cycle applies to cheap horses. Why? Anybody know? They race cheap horses in the form. They don't work them in the form. So they got to have recent races.
How cheap is cheap? At Aqueduct, we're talking about those $12,000,
$20,000. Yeah, yeah. The bottom of the room.
The bottom two levels at any.
At Tampa Downs, we go up to 12,500, cheapest, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. When you get in the allowances, then you can use a green cycle totally. So anything that's an allowance race or a maiden stakes, I mean, maiden allowances, maiden special weight, they call them on the East Coast. And stake races or all that, you can use just 60 days. And any good race in 60 days is okay. You prefer one out of the last 35 days, but if you can't find it, don't get upset because you're playing potential and the horses, the better horses don't need dates. They work off of conditioning. Maybe you've had more races out in the guy's training track than half the horses they're running against. So you can't tell. But you got to do the only thing you can do, everybody asks me that, what do you do about date factor? I ignore it most of the time with the exception that I go back and see if the horse has done it before. If he's won off and lay off, then you got to be careful. If a trainer has a habit of winning not off or lay off, and I don't want you to go studying trainers, because that's, some people do, but you can get so hung up with that. All I'm talking about is if you know that this guy wins a lot of times first out, then you're stupid to throw out any one of his good horses. The second thing a horse should have coming off a layoff is good consistency. That's another secret. And workouts help, but it's not necessary if you can figure the horse is okay. Because I win with them.
Well, yeah, but sometimes they, like down in Maryland, on Laurel, Mike Leatherby, he'll wear his horses out on a private farm.
Just better than saying it.
Just almost no workouts at all.
Don't need him if that's his modus operandi. But he's got to have a good horse. He can't come off with a turkey.
A good horse.
Yes, sir. That's par for the course. Yeah, sure. Any long race coming off a workout is a stamina builder, and a 5-4 one builds the stamina and builds the speed.
There's a trap there, though.
Yeah.
Take it from someone. I handicap every day, and that is if you make a rule out of that, not accepting a horse like William Scott in his book talks about the magic 5-4-1 workout. It's a trap, and I can tell you that from experience. If you make a rule out of that, eliminating horses that do not have those workouts, you're going to be in trouble.
No, that's not what I said. I'm saying that's a big positive factor.
It might be a reason for you to go back on a horse. Yeah, but be careful about it. You know, the first thing that they teach in Clocker School is that 46 and 4 is 50.
Yeah. I'd like to give you the golden rule of handicapping. This rule is such a great all the time of your life. Don't have any rules. Be flexible. Let the track tell you what's going on. Okay, let's get on it. Now this too, I don't want you to make a system out of it. But if you read this thing over, you'll see that if you stay within with the cheaper horses within the last four races or the better horses within 60 days, you'll get a line on where to go with the conditioning. And horses win because, you know, they're either got to be faster or they got to be in better condition or better class. That's the three things that win races. So if they're in grade, what do you need? Condition. If they're better class, what do you need? Potential and an idea that they're in condition. And if they're lower grade, you need a whole lot of things. If they're trying to come up and do something they haven't done. Because the trainer's guessing, and you want to put your money where you're guessing. But there's some races, and you'll learn how to spot them if you work with it long enough, that will pull forward when a horse can move up. Like, an example is that race we just looked at. The horse moved up and ran a crackerjack race. The way to stay came right back and ran another one. Page 26, you see, he'd been in lower grade, but the guy brought him up, and he come right out with real good stuff in that starter allowance, and he brought him back on a regular claimer, fillies and mares, and bang, right in. See, ordinary, most guys would look at that horse and throw it out, said, oh, no, that horse is cheap. Mm-hmm. He was $61 cheap. You see, that's the trap you fall into when you try to have systems and you're not flexible. So, there are certain times, if you go down this thing, when you can break this cheap horse rent cycle rule. You should try to use the last race if possible. That's the ideal. Now, that is also not a rule. What I'm trying to tell you is, if it's the last race, it's more reliable than the second race. If it's the second race, it's more reliable than the third. And if it's the third race, it's more reliable than the fourth race. That is on average now. Don't get a system out of it. That's just a mindset that you got. You can be a little more sure of a horse that won a race, his last race, he's completely out of condition, and he's had a layoff, and doesn't show anything, he's not going to wake up all that much. You see what I mean? He can go right out if he's a check horse or a zero horse. You don't have to look at him again. Okay. Now, the exceptions are if it's that first race over a track where you think the trainer might be just fooling around, and he's got some pretty good races underneath there, you can go back and look at some of those for what he might be able to do and get away with it. I got a list there. That's A. B, if it's the only race in the red cycle, he's just coming back off a layoff and it's pretty good, like an early pace race, or he carried his feet to the stretch or something like that, then you want to drop back and try to find his potential good race. You see, once you qualify a horse as in the end condition, you can search around a little bit and we'll reflect the horse's actual worth today and see what his best pace line is, because that's valid. But you have to remember now, you're playing potential when you go down and do that. When you're playing right out of the red cycle, you're playing condition plus pace. Follow? So it's more reliable. And the third one is C, where he's dropping way down. I can go look around if you think he's... If he's all pluses are coming down, you can find a race, maybe the fourth race back where he was in grade. Then you can rate that race, it's okay. It won't burn you. And then the last one is the last race is a wake up. And you go back and search around and try to find, well, is it going to get better? You can either race to the stretch and use that, or you can go back and try to find one back down there and then use that. So that's it for the cheaper horses. Now, for allowance, 60 days. Just take the best race out of 60 days and you won't get burnt. Now,
what about a horse like the Way to Stay that moved up in his last race and say if it had been an off track and excuse, could you go back to a cheaper race for a pace line in that
case? Yeah, but then you're faced with the fact that you're taking him off of weaker competition. You may never. I'll explain that just a second. Okay. Now, as I say here on page 18, it says maximum reliability is realized when you use the pace line from the red cycle. And it's the last race or next to last race. Like that is if you can excuse it. That's when you're pretty sure you got a good, this one's going to be valid. Say the checks, you got all checks, and you got a good pace line off the last race or the next to last race. You'd be pretty sure he's going to run close to that pick unless he's burnt up. And that don't happen all that often. A lot less than what people think. This is for the cheap horses only, this next thing. Those are the excuses that you can throw out the races and go back. Mostly cheap horses. Okay? Now I put some eliminations down here, and I'm sorry I called it eliminations because I don't really want it to be eliminations. I used the wrong terminology. I wanted to say these are horses that are less than optimal. They're not what you want to make a big bet, your big bet on. And that's horses moving from maiden favors to straight races, or maiden favors to maiden specials, or maidens into allowances, unless it's nine winners of one or nine winners of two. Okay? Everybody understand it? The next one is 50% class risers. When a horse is going up 50%, he's in trouble. Unless he's run a real good race. Now, there's a few exceptions to that. Common sense against him. We're not going to have rules, remember? We're going back and look and see if this horse was better. And they dropped him down and he ran a pretty good race and said, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. The guy says, well, I'm going to push you back up where you were. He can go back up. Even though it's more than 50%, he'll win his share. Right? Now, the last thing I haven't touched on because it's so automatic with me, I want to do a couple things about it. His average purse value is a, that's a must. I especially at these cheap tracks. It's dynamite at these cheap tracks. And don't think it is. Any all you guys who are playing Rockingham and Finger Lakes and APV is murder. It's wonderful if you know how to use it, and you do it on every horse to make sure. Now, there's one exception to a horse that may be a better horse, and he doesn't get a decent APV, and I'll tell you why. It's a horse with all pluses, because he's been two grades up, maybe more, and he's been chasing way better horses, and he can't get better than fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh. And maybe it's his last six, seven, eight races he's been doing that. You know, how can you earn any purses? He's done wrong with races. So his APV will stink. Yeah.
What do you do with stink grades in the APV for state grades?
State races?
No, state grades.
State grades? Well, we don't have that. But what you'd have to do is use energy and match them. That's the secret.
It will be very, in New York, very infrequently do state bred horses have the requisite energy for if they're dropping into open company, unless once in a while you get a horse like there was a horse who dropped from state bred allowance races to bottom of the barrel, not Alan Witter, a big closing horse anyway, that won Overcap, thank you, who dropped from state bred allowances into bottom rung claiming race, open claiming races. The reason they can win those races is that the energy requirements for those cheaper claiming races are almost exactly what the state bred allowance races are. So you have to be very careful. If you just go by APV on state bred allowances, it's inflated for two reasons. The first of which is that the purses are inflated by 20%. That's the state breeder's bonus. The second is the level of competition is so much poorer in state-bred races in New York that those horses can earn those purses more easily. So comparing a state-bred APV against an open company APV is meaningless. And what you need to determine is whether the horse belongs in the race generally. My experience is usually they don't.
Not really that hard.
You could, another thing you could do is just automatically knock 20%. Off his APV and then see where he stands and then compare the total energy.
Okay, and then you have a numerous factor like Liz Taylor, that particular horse. Keep in mind, what will be coming anyway.
Well, there's always exceptions.
Well, you spotted it, see, you know that, so you're not hurt with it, see. You don't have, like, you see, you try to make a rule out of it. No rules. Rules are buried yet. You have to be flexible. Tracks change, horses change, trainers change.
This is a really wonderful tool, this classifying the last few claiming races. And there's in the back of the manual, the section that I put together on class, this is a discussion of what Dick is talking about now, the interrelationship between those two things, between APV and the level at which the horse has been running. A horse could be running at lower levels, can have maybe just checks and O's, and have a high APV indicating some past ability. So he may be able to run, even though his recent form and the recent class he's been running in very well, it may indicate his ability to step up in that case. Conversely, a low APV may be offset by the fact that he's been running in much better races and not running well in those races. Again, you can go back to a lower level race in that case.
Well, before I answer that, one thing I want to add to what Michael said. This also with that high APV, if you look back there and you see there's no reason, this could be a state bred situation. You know, the horse did it last year, and if you could kind of hang around and try to figure out what it is. But anyway, you're alerted. You got high APV, but you don't have any pluses. You see what I mean? So you say, oh, either he got it by consistency, or there's something, you know. And you know this is a special horse, you got to look at it a little harder. Now,
how far back do you go with the APV? Say the horse only has a couple of races this year, and he's been laid off. Did you use all last year's?
Why not?
Different horse this year, you know?
Well, you have to, that's, you know, no rule. You go ahead and you know that he was good last year, but he may not be good this year. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? It's decisions after decisions.
Please fast forward and turn over.